time this semester, we are running an open mic. And with that, Justin's going to be in the back of the room. I'm going to be in the front of the room. Huddle's been going on for 12 years, and we know that there's some people that have refused to come up and give their testimony when we've asked, not because they haven't wanted to, but just because of circumstances beyond their control as far as timing and such. So today, as we run the open mic, it's a little bit different program. It's the second time we've done this, and we've gotten good reviews before. So today what we're going to ask is, as the Lord lays it on your heart, if you would, we'll bring the mic to you, and if you'd like to give a couple minute testimony as to what Huddle has done for you, how it's impacted your life. And if you have a favorite scripture, we'd ask for you to share that with the men so that they can make some scriptural references and it might help them in their time of struggle. So this is all about trying to make us all stronger and all about iron sharpening iron. So with that, as we move forward, we'll go and take volunteers from the room, and I'll let Justin cover the back of the room, and I'll cover the front of the room. So just raise your hand, and we'll bring the mic over, and basic question would be is, how has the Huddle ministry impacted you or your life, and what have you done with it? And if there's scripture that you'd like to share with us, we'd be more than happy to have you come forth with that also. So we'll get things started.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Rob Little, and I've been thinking about what I could share today. I'm here to tell you what Huddle means to me. Huddle is not just an accountability group for me. To me, it is discipleship. If we are going to disciple others and be discipled, we need to be in a group like the Huddle community. We need relationships so that we will be able to relate to one another. One of the things is we need mutual confession and energetic prayer. In James 5:16, it says, "Confess your sins one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." James is urging us to regularly confess our faults to one another, gentlemen. And we are to pray for one another that we may be healed. That's a great incentive. You know, when we help other people, God's going to take care of our needs. He's going to take care of us, and we don't have to worry about it. Number two is we need Huddle to motivate others to radical love and hope. In Hebrews 10:23-25, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We're to hold on to the hope we have in Christ. We are not to shrink back in our faith. We are called to move forward. God has called us to display Christ-like tenderness and affections to one another, everyone in this room, to do good works that bless the world. Not just to bless the world, but it also blesses Christ. We are to long for the day when Christ will come and make us a whole new world. And this is one that this third one that I'm getting ready to just talk about is really the one where we need to hold each other up. And that's in secret sins. Hebrews 3:13 says, "We are to exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We are to preserve and grow in our faith. We are to exhort one another. Huddle isn't merely a general encouragement. He is calling each one of us to speak and listen to one another in such a way that we help one another see how sin is operating in our own personal lives, gentlemen. That's why it is so important for Huddle is these table discussions, because it gives us time to share. And just like we sat around this table just a little bit ago, we were asking, you know, this gentleman here had a prayer request a couple weeks ago, and they were asking him, how's it going? That's what we're here for, is to lift each other up, because if we had to fight this on our own, without the Lord, without Huddle, without community, I don't think I would make it. I would be discouraged, but I come to these Huddle meetings and I get lifted up, I'm encouraged. God has strengthened me so much through the community of Huddle.
My name's Jeff Lowry. I'm an attorney. I'm going to take the next 40 minutes. So, he's the judge. Also want to call out Jason for 4 years in a row for losing the IU-Purdue bet again this year. So, Jason, you need to quit doing that. I just want to share what Huddle has meant to me. I've been here for years and was a table leader. They've changed my court time, which is most of you see me leaving early because I have to be at court at 1. And I'm a deputy prosecutor over here in juvenile court, and I've done this for 28 and a half years. And I have court every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday, usually in court about 10 hours a week. And Wednesdays, for the last 28 years, has also been my trial time. So when I leave here sometimes, I'm going over there doing trials, and I've done this, you name it, batteries, burglaries, robberies, child molest, you name it, I've done it. And I have a friend that works in the Division of Child Services. We talk almost every day. And we kid each other, but in a way we're not kidding. We say that we see the demise of families and of Western civilization every day of what we do for a living, and it's kind of sad. But seeing all you men here on Wednesdays just is an encouragement to my heart, because I have to go over there in about 30 minutes and deal with some really nasty stuff. I mean, I chose to do it. I get paid to do it, but it's nasty. And seeing men of like faith, you know, we have different denominations. We have young men, some of us a little older now, coming together, though, sharing our faith. And we're here, why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that is an encouragement to me. So what I want to say is, when you're thinking about, well, should I come to Huddle or not, you're an encouragement to each other and to me. So it's important to be here and to share. And I'll just say my life verse, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I have that on my desk. I look at it every day, and that encourages me. And you men also encourage me. Myself. So thank you so much for Huddle, the board, all the women that serve. It's just a wonderful experience for me, so that I can get over there and do my job over at the courthouse.
Thank you, John.
My name's Dan Macaluso. I don't have a personal testimony, but I was listening intently to Jeff, and I'd like to ask him a question. You deal with some pretty nasty people, or they've committed some pretty heinous things, and I wonder how your Christian faith affects having mercy on them also, and trying for their rehabilitation, because we discipline people out of love, not out of vindictiveness or anything. So I was just kind of curious how that played into your life.
That's a good question. I have no mercy. No, you know. one of the reasons that I've stayed in the juvenile system all this long is because the juvenile system is set up to try to help the kids. I mean, there are some that we send to the Department of Corrections. Probably the hardest decision I ever have to make is whether to waive a juvenile to adult court, and we have certain parameters to do that. That's probably the hardest decision I have to make, because if I waive a kid to adult court, it's probably on a very serious felony. They could be looking at 15, 20, 30 years, so I take that very seriously. But I think the juvenile system is set up to have mercy with kids, to help them to get the rehabilitation that they need, and that's one of the reasons I've stayed in the system so long. Try not to get jaded. If you ask me a question, am I jaded? Yeah, I probably am, but that system set up still to try to help and not just to punish.
We're quiet today. Too much turkey. I'll take what I hear in all of this is don't let Satan separate you. Keep unified.
Hi, my name is Scott Aaron. I've been coming here since they built the new building. I don't come every week. I usually work every other Wednesday, so I come the Wednesdays that I'm off. And not gonna lie, the first time I was here, I sat down and I thought, what am I doing with all these older guys here? I'm about 50 years younger than everybody at my table, but I'm just using a rough number, okay? but it's actually a real blessing, because I've not gone through a whole lot within my younger life, and then hearing all the experiences and how everybody's dealt with things differently over time is a true blessing, to know that, you know, there's people out there that have gone through things and I can experience, you know, rather than going through it just myself, of other people giving me the understanding. And so usually I come in here and I just sit down and listen for most times. Every so often I'll say a little bit, but most of the time I listen, and it's a great refresher for the middle of the week to get involved and be here. And always a free lunch is nice too. So.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
This has already kind of been mentioned today, and I know I've talked about this before, but you know, we get done eating, the speaker gets done. I think there's kind of a hurriedness a lot of Wednesdays to maybe get out of here. We've got to go back to work and so forth, but don't ever take for granted the time of praying around your table, and really give guys a chance to share a prayer need. And I say that because 4 years ago, I spent Thanksgiving Day at Riley Hospital because our, at the time, year and a half old grandson was having his third heart surgery. And guys at my table had often prayed for my grandson because he was having so many difficulties. But as you can often do on Facebook, now they bring up memories. And my daughter posted over the weekend some pictures of him from Riley 4 years ago, but she also commented that his doctor who did the surgery said he had never had a patient go through the surgery that he went through and the complications that they had. Plus, because of that, he suffered a stroke. He said, I've never had a patient go through that and live. And we're 4 years down the road now, and he's still with us. So don't take for granted the times of praying for each other.
Well, I'll share one for myself. One of the biggest blessings that I get is being up in front of you guys and seeing the desire in your heart to hear God's word and to share with one another. And that, for me, is makes it easy to come up in front of you guys, because I'm not really a very outward person. I really like to do things from the back of the room rather than from the front of the room. But you guys have been such a huge blessing. Just to look in your eyes and see that desire. So, anybody else?
My name is Larry Houck, and I've been coming to Huddle for about 3 years now. And unfortunately, this may be my last one, but I'm going to tell you why. You know, the Lord moves in mysterious ways, but they're always good ways. And early in my life, the Lord put me in different towns, different cities. And as I look back, I can see why he put me in each one of those. I've been here for about 30 years now, and he's talked to me again, and he's opened doors for me and my wife to move to Cocoa Beach, Florida. And we feel that there's a ministry down there for us because of how this all took place. About 4 years ago, my wife had breast cancer. After going through treatment and everything for a year and being a year free from cancer, we were down in Cocoa Beach, and we were sitting out under an umbrella on a beach chair, and we were talking about, do we want to move back to Florida or not? We lived in Fort Lauderdale for 7.5 years early in our lives, and as we were talking, the guy that had the beach chair and umbrella concession came up, and he says, I hear you guys might be thinking about moving to Florida. He says, now's a good time to buy real estate. So that kind of put something in my ear. I contacted a realtor that day. In the next couple of days, we spent looking at real estate. And things were reasonable. They were very reasonable. So we came back home, and we talked about it. And I was getting things from the realtor about every week as to what was new on the market and what they were selling for. And I started seeing a trend of the prices going up. So about 2 years ago, May, I told my wife, we need to get to Florida. And if this is to happen, the Lord will show us a place. So we get down there in the first week of May. We look Monday. We look Tuesday. We look Wednesday. And nothing. There's nothing that we wanted, nothing that was desirable to us. And the realtors were telling us that the market, there's very few houses on the market or condos on the market. We're wanting a condo. And so Wednesday night, I told my wife, I said, you know, if we don't find something tomorrow, the Lord doesn't want us here. Well, first thing Thursday morning, the realtor calls. And she says, I think I've got a place for you. And I said, where is it? She says, it's about a mile from where you're staying. And we were staying at a resort at Cocoa Beach. So we drive there, and we drive onto the grounds. And they were the best looking grounds of any of the condos that we'd looked at down there. So we're thinking, you know, this is pretty nice. So we go up to the unit. What a beautiful view we had. And so I turned to the realtor, and I said, we'll make an offer for this one. And she says, you're not going to pay what they're asking? I said, no. I said, this number is in my mind. And she says, well, they probably won't take it. She says, now you realize all the furniture and everything in here goes with the unit. And I said, I understand. And so she says, we'll make the proposal and we'll give them 48 hours to answer. Well, one of the requirements my wife has is we have to have a good church down here to go to. So we went out Friday looking for churches. And the one we ended up going to, as we were pulling into the drive leading back to the church, my wife says, let me get out and take a picture so we can remember what this church looks like. So she gets out, she's taking a picture, and I get a phone call. And it's from the realtor. And she says, they accepted your offer with no contingencies. So now, you know, we're thinking, maybe the Lord is in this. And as we're driving back to our condo, the big rainbow came across the sky. No rain, just the rainbow. And we said, you know, that's kind of a confirmation, isn't it? Well, to make a long story short, all through this, you know, the Lord has been telling us, you know, now's the time to do the things that you need to do while you're still able. And he says, I want you to sell what you've got in Kokomo and go to Cocoa Beach. And that's what we're in the process of doing now. We're getting ready to close on our house. We came back about 3 weeks ago. I put a sign in my yard on a Wednesday, and we had a purchase agreement that Tuesday. And I got out of the house exactly what I wanted out of it. And the Lord has just worked that way through our lives. And the thing that really is on my mind all the time is, what does the Lord have next for me? It's kind of exciting to know when the Lord is working in your life. And you feel it in your heart, and things just go to his timing, not necessarily to our timing, but to his timing. He has opened doors and he's closed the doors. But, you know, just knowing that you're doing his will is the thing that just puts a joy and a peace in your heart. And I want to thank every man in here, because I know many of you, and you've all been a blessing to me. This is quite a thing to come to. And I'm glad Ron invited me the first time. And I just want to thank everybody here. And if I don't see you next week, you know where I'm at.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I've been coming for, 2 months? But I just went through KGB 109, and one thing I've learned, you talked about not taking prayer for granted. Something else I think that we don't do enough of anymore is take time to actually get to know somebody before we judge them. We're quick to judge, or we're quick to look out for only ourselves. So it's really neat to be able to come to a place like this, or go through a banquet, or be on team where you have time to actually know somebody and find out who they are.
I'm John Miller, and I've been coming to Huddle since the beginning. And it's just fantastic to be among all different cultures, all different people, but all the same in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're here and among all you guys, it's just a taste of heaven on earth to me. And I just look forward to Huddle. I mean, when you leave here, you're just lifted up. And your light's shining for the world to see. And I just count it a real blessing to be a part of this.
My name is Chuck Penton, and I've been coming to Huddle for quite a few years. I can't say just how long. But I think back in the Bible, there was an old prophet that sometimes I relate to, because God does something really great for me, and then I get the feeling down, and I feel like I'm the only one serving God. Anybody else ever feel that way? You know, I think it happens to all of us. But when I think about it, I come to Huddle, and some of the testimonies that we've heard this semester, I can relate to a lot of them, because I hear myself in those testimonies and things that I've gone through, that other people have gone through. And I'm uplifted by that, because I know that I'm not the only one that's going through something at any time. That God is always there with me, even though sometimes I feel like that he isn't, but I know he is. And I just want to thank you guys that have given your testimonies this semester, and all the guys at the tables are the testimonies that we hear, and that you've really blessed me and you help lift me up. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Austin. I've been coming to Huddle, I think, since the second year or something. I don't know. Rex drugged me here. Couple of things. Jeremy, you're absolutely right, and thank you for sharing that. It is a huge blessing to get to know the men in this room, the ladies who serve us and share and pray with us. Mr. Coco Beach, I don't know you, sir, but I got a suggestion. Take Huddle with you. Start one in Coco Beach. You'll be a blessing to that community down there. So you've seen it. You know what it can do. Carry the word. And lastly, I kind of made a joke a few weeks ago when I spoke that, I didn't want to give my testimony. It's not easy to get up and speak in front of people for the most part. But if you do say no, then you're robbing God of that opportunity to bless the other people here with his message. So thank you.
Good afternoon. My name's Tom DiNardo. I've been coming here a long time. This is kind of an interesting season that we've all had to endure together as a country, as well as the men in this room. There's been a lot of things said. There's been a lot of divisiveness in this country. Perhaps one of the most interesting things that I have heard our president-elect say, and he said a lot of stuff, and like everybody in this room, regardless of where you land on the politics side of things, every once in a while I cringe when he opens his mouth. Perhaps one of the most interesting things I've heard him say is that if this country is going to change, if this country is going to heal, it's going to be done by men and women of faith. Amen. Men and women of faith. And I will tell you, when I heard him say that, I sat back in my chair and scratched my head, and I thought, wow. And so amidst all the chaos that we watch on television and we watch going on around the country, I guess I asked the same question to myself that you all ask you. What do men of faith have in this game now? What is our responsibility in this game? And it's all over the place. You don't have to look very far in the good book, and there's plenty of opportunities on what we should do and how we should do them, but perhaps one of the greatest things that I think that we should focus our thoughts and attentions on is I think disciples have a responsibility to spread and propagate a message of hope. And right now, I think that's probably a pretty good pill for this country to swallow. To look towards the future and see what people of faith are capable of when they first of all come together and second of all step up to the plate and say, you know what, it's a new day and we're going to make the best out of it. And the best is yet to come for the United States of America. And so, like all of you, I come in here every Wednesday. We all have our individual levels of brokenness that we quietly walk around and carry in our back pockets, but I leave every Wednesday not broken. I leave strengthened because of all the men. And by the way, you ladies too back there, I leave a stronger man because of you, not in spite of you. And I thank you for it.
Before we give you some time at the table to lift up your prayer concerns, there's one thing I'd like to do. And if you're a board member, I want you to stand up. Come on. If you're a table facilitator, I want you to stand up. If you've been a speaker, I want you to stand up. If you volunteer to set up the room or tear down the room, I want you to stand up. If you attend huddle, I want you to stand up. Now, bear with me. I want you to look around. Do you see what you do? You all come here and you support one another. And huddle was created to not only create support within this room, but for you to do the very same thing that you do here at your church and within this community. I think, Tom, you said it. This is our pill. We need to take it seriously, and we need to swallow it. So go out and do what you're supposed to do. You do it here. You do it every week. You know how to do it. And that's all I have. As far as our, if you can all have a seat. Next week will be our last huddle for this semester. Then we will, beginning back in January the 4th, will be our next meeting. So we'll be taking a couple weeks off over Christmas.